Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Already been a tremendous blessing just being in church. I trust that you sense and feel that very same thing. Just when you come to the lighthouse, come through the doors, you just sense the presence of God in this place. And everything that's said and done here, I believe, brings honor and glory to the cause of Christ. And that's what we want to do. And what a blessing it is to look around and be encouraged by every other individual that's here tonight. You're a blessing to every other person that's here tonight, and just see your desire to be in assembly and to fellowship and to worship the Lord together. What a blessing that is. Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist, what a blessing it is. In my preparation for this, I tell you, the Lord is blessing me. I think that I'm very much blessed by having opportunity to study and prepare for the lessons that I bring to you on Wednesday night. And the one thing about it is, there's no way that I can give you everything that I've learned. And to give you everything that the blessings that God has blessed me with. That's one of the blessings of the ministry, is being able to walk with the Lord and being able to have God reveal things to you that is a blessing to you, my life, as well as when I prepare it, I know it's going to be a blessing for you. And to see you coming out and to having a desire to learn more about what God has for us through the example of the life of John the Baptist, it blesses my heart for you to have that desire. And I know that it is something that will be an encouragement to you as well as you have a desire to live for the Lord. And so I know that the message tonight, and I believe every message we've had in the life of John the Baptist has been a very practical one that we can be encouraged and helped by. We looked, first of all, on what Jesus said about John the Baptist. Who is John the Baptist? And no better description of who he is than the description that Jesus gave to us concerning him. And the thing that stands out more than anything else, there's none greater. There was none, not a greater prophet, representative of God. And than John the Baptist. And that in itself helps me to want to study all that God has written down about John the Baptist so I can learn from that. His title was the prophet of the highest, and his task was to give the knowledge of salvation. That's what the Bible says. Now, we know he was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it said that he was a prophet of the highest, and his task was to give knowledge of salvation. That means he was pointing people to the Savior, Jesus Christ. He was pointing to everyone, to that Lamb of God, and who would be the sacrifice for sins and would present without any doubt at all God's plan for salvation for all humanity. And that's the very same for every New Testament believer today. The task that John has is the very same task that every born-again believer has today, to represent Christ. No higher calling than to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what you do, as far as your occupation, and no matter where you go, that's what we're here to do, and that is to represent Jesus Christ. It's what Christianity is all about. True Christianity is true Christ-likeness. And when you understand that, there's no higher calling than to represent Christ, and then to point people to Christ for salvation. Wow. Same for everyone. And we just point them back to the cross and say, he did it. That's him. You need to receive him as your Savior. Amen. Well, last week, his message was that of repentance. We started looking at the life of John the Baptist, and we got into the idea of now it was a time. It was 30 years. He prepared himself for 30 years. And then his ministry is really kind of short-lived. And yet, in 6 months to a year that he actually had a public ministry. Now, no doubt, for the 30 years, God was working in and through him, but his public ministry was from 6 months to 1 year, some that time frame there. And in that, there's not a greater, no one's accomplished more than John the Baptist, is what he said. Not a greater prophet, not a prophet that's done more for the cause of Christ, that has served God in a higher way, none. Wow. So it's maybe not the longevity, but what we have actually accomplished, and that can be accomplished. I mean, I believe God has used infants that are in glory today, amen, rejoicing over the fact that they were used by God. Amen. That, So last week, his message was that of repentance. Repentance, and we gave you the definition, a changed mind leading to a change of life, a change of mind, which this revealed that man's thinking was wrong, both Jews and Gentiles. There's 400 silent years. There's a lot of things that changed, but in the fullness of time, when it was God's timing, all the pieces of the puzzle come together, God said, it's time now, and he sent John to do what he called him to do. And so we find here that man's thinking, the Jews first, they're thinking of the Messiah. Their application of the Word of God that they had, the Old Testament, was wrong. And he sent John to pave the way for the full revelation that God has for mankind that Jesus would reveal. And not only, but he sent them to the Jews first because that's what it was. They represented God to the world, and now all man, every Christian represents God to the world, whether it be Jew or Gentile. And so, but both Jews and Gentiles had wrong thinking. So Jews were expecting a kingdom restoration. That means they were thinking they were going to be restored to their former glory amongst all the nations. They look back, Israel was at one point in time the most powerful nation on planet Earth. The whole world knew of Solomon and his wealth and his wisdom and his power. Amen. The whole world knew of that. They were representing the true God of heaven. The whole world understood that Solomon, there's something different about Solomon's God. And all the leaders from around the world wanted to come to find out what it was. And so now the Jews think the Messiah is going to come and he's going to restore a kingdom restoration or restore their former glory amongst the world, amongst all the world, all nations of the world. But their thinking was wrong. And so John came preaching, your thinking's wrong, you need to repent. And they was wrong on a lot of different things. They thought themselves to be better than other peoples. Amen? They thought themselves to be better than others because of their position, because they were just Jews, and their father was Abraham. And Jesus had to tell them, yeah, repent of that thinking. That's wrong thinking. No, God loves every man, woman, and child the same. He's no respecter of persons. So there's a lot of things, and we'll get into that a little bit more as far as what John brings out concerning his preaching to get them to repent. But the main thing here, their thinking was that Jesus would come, the Messiah would come to restore them to their former glory. So repentance was not what most wanted to hear, especially the religious leaders of the Jews. But none of the religious leaders of the world wanted to hear the truth. None of them wanted to believe that their thinking was wrong. Much like people today. Everyone wants to think that their thinking on God, whether it is or not, is right. My faith, it's how I was raised, it's how my parents raised me, it's how their parents raised them, and my faith is right. And so with that mindset, they'll never want to repent. And yet what people needed was repent. Your thinking is wrong. With that said, stand with me. Let's read Matthew chapter 3. That leads us up to where we're at today, tonight. Everybody with me? Amen. All right, put everything else out of your mind. If you didn't follow with what I just said, it's because you got some other garbage on your mind right now. Amen. You're thinking about something that it is not as important as what you're here to receive tonight. Okay? And so put that out of your mind, no matter what kind of day you've had, no matter what your wife or your husband or child has done. Amen. Or your parents. Amen. Whatever they've done, put it out of your mind. And let's focus on what God has for us here through this study on John the Baptist this evening. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, once again. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And this is what I want you to look at here tonight. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. The paths that he's going to walk and what he's going to preach, John, make them straight. Do your part. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church tonight. Pray for each one that's here. Thank you, Lord Father, for their desire to be here. And you opened a door, made an opportunity for them to come, and they came. Pray for those that had a desire to be here but could not come for whatever reason. I pray, God, that you would bless them tonight and open a door for them at the next available hour to come. But right now, Father, as we bow before you, as we look to this passage of Scripture, I know there's so much here, and I pray that you'd give each one that insight and that spiritual ear to hear what you have for them tonight, that which would strengthen each one of us. Empower the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So what he came preaching is not what they really wanted to hear. That is mainly the religious rulers of the Jews. Because they then would have to admit that their thinking was wrong. The scribes and the Pharisees, that's the last thing they wanted to do, is to admit that their thinking was wrong. And that's the Jews, the ones that had the scriptures. The Gentiles, they had already settled into their lifestyle. They had already settled into what they thought their life here on this earth was all about. They already settled in with their thinking on multiple gods or no God or whatever it was. And they did not want to hear that their thinking was wrong. But that's exactly why God sent John, to preach this repentance, a need to change your thinking. You see, prepare ye the way of the Lord. John came to prepare ye the way of the Lord, not the ways of man, not the ways of religion. He came preaching repentance to prepare the way for right thinking, God's thoughts. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. It's not about man's plan for man. It's about God's plan for man. It's not about the parents' plan for their child that's most important. It's God's plan for the children that's most important. It's not about my plan for my life that's most important. It's God's plan for my life is what's most important. And the reason that he was come preaching this, as we've already studied a little bit on last week, is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ is here to reveal, give us the full revelation of the ways of God. It is that point in time in the history of humanity when God said it's the fullness of time. It is time for mankind to understand all of the full revelation that God has for humanity. It took place some 2,000 years ago. So we've had the completion of the Word of God. We've had the full revelation of God's plan for humanity. And God knew that it would be at least a couple thousand years. It might be another 1,000. I don't know. No one knows that. But I think we're coming to the end of everything that God has revealed to us until that's going to take place until the rapture. And so I don't think it's another 1,000 years. I think we're right there on the verge of the next event in prophecy. But whether or not that is true, however that is, the idea here is that Jesus Christ came, and with his coming, John was to prepare and make his path straight, prepare mankind. And the idea there was to repent from your thinking, because the King of heaven, Jesus Christ, is here to reveal the full revelation of God's plans for eternity. He's here to reveal God's plans for how man is to live in this physical life. And how man is to prepare for his spiritual, eternal life. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Preach repentance. John knew that the kingdom of heaven was all about a spiritual kingdom. And yet the Jews wanted to think it was all about a physical kingdom. To be restored to this kingdom restoration, this former glory on this planet. They were still mindful that that's what it was all about. Is to make sure that we have the power of God and we are elevated once again so the whole world looks to us as they did in Solomon's glory to realize, boy, they have it all. We want to be like them. We want to understand where Solomon gets his wisdom from. We want to understand how he's able to do what he has been able to do, how Israel was able to become the most powerful nation on planet Earth. And we want to have that restored once again. That was their thinking. And if we're not careful, that's the very same thinking that we'll have, is we want everything in this world has to offer now. And yet John came preaching repentance because he knew that that was wrong. He understood that the kingdom of heaven was all about a spiritual kingdom, not of flesh and blood. It did not have a physical design. Can I tell you that Jesus reveals some differences? And when you study, study the life of Christ helps us to understand more about the book of Revelation and what we can expect in eternity. We look at the prophecies of the Old Testament, we look at the teachings of Christ, and then we look at what the book of Revelation that reveals the future says, and we're able to put it all together and have a good understanding. That's what we're doing on Sunday nights and preaching and teaching through the book of Revelation. Well, when it comes to John pointing people to Jesus, saying he has the information that you have need of to know what's to come and how to prepare for it. So Jesus reveals some things about the spiritual kingdom, about eternity. Some things I want to share with you tonight. Mark in chapter 12. Mark in chapter 12. Can I once again remind you that you cannot have too high of expectations of heaven? We don't understand the glory. We don't understand all it's going to be. We just can understand that it's far beyond our greatest expectations. And it's far beyond anything that you could ever have in this life. So know that before you start looking at and understanding what the Bible says about it. Mark chapter 12 and verse 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, and these were the thinking of the Sadducees and all those who are trying to catch Jesus to find him to say something they could hold against him, trying to find him possibly saying something that didn't go together. And so they came tempting him, and they don't believe in the resurrection, but they knew that he believed in a resurrection, that the Pharisees believed in a resurrection. And so they ask him about whose wife is this? Whose wife is this going to be when she had several husbands on the earth? Well, they kept dying, and then she would be the next man's wife because he died. And so then the brother had him, and he died. Now, whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Now, look what Jesus... Now, again, don't lose sight of the story. Look at what he's teaching us about heaven. And Jesus answering said to them, "Do you not therefore err? Because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven." Now, some people, if you're not careful, you're going to get a little bit bummed. I love my husband so much, and I love my wife so much. You mean we're not going to be recognized as being married in glory? We won't have the blessings of marriage in heaven? You're missing out on the point. You're still thinking of a physical life. You're thinking of the enjoyments of this physical life. Can I tell you that if you truly have the marriage that God wants you to have, you're going to find the blessings of God in your marriage. And you're going to have a desire to stay together for the rest of your lives. And you won't be able to think about the idea of separating, because you have the blessings of God given to us in His concept of this physical life of marriage and two becoming one and therefore establishing a family and having children. But God says in heaven, they're not going to be. There will not be marriages. There's no male or female angels. They're just angels. And in heaven, we're not going to be male or female. We will be known as we were known. The Bible says that. But there's not going to be a gender blur in heaven. Now, I'm standing up here. I'm telling you right now, I can't. I don't understand it all. I just know what the Bible says. There's not going to be marriages in heaven, but what God has for us in heaven will far exceed anything and everything that you could ever receive and be blessed by in a marriage on earth. You'll be known as you were known. I believe that we'll recognize each other. But it'll be far superior than whatever it could ever be in this life. And the relationship we'll have in heaven will be far superior than any relationship you could ever have on this earth. That's what the Bible says. So just realize, praise the Lord. You look at your husband and say, you know, we're going to know each other in eternity, and we'll have a better relationship than what we do now. There's not going to be any fussing and fighting. There's not going to be any disagreements. Amen. There's not going to be anything that annoys you about your spouse in heaven. I could go on and on, but I'm saying you can't have too high of expectations. So it will go beyond whatever relationship you have with that individual on this earth. It will be far greater in heaven. Because it's not physical, not in flesh and blood. Matter of fact, I want to show you that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Now again, this is John understanding this, and that's why he was able to preach what he preached. That's why he was able to understand what his task was to prepare you the way of the Lord, and they had to repent of their thinking and focus on what the Bible says. Having the mind of Christ. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You will not have the same kind of physical flesh. Nor will you have the same kind of physical blood. The blood is the life of the body. The blood keeps all the organs alive. The blood cleanses. I mean, the body works together. Well, I'm saying that's not how it's going to work in heaven. Flesh and blood, physical flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Those who are alive and remain in the coming of Christ, you're going to be changed. You're not going to have to experience sleep or physical death. But you will have the same change as they'll have. We'll have the same kind of glorified existence. Glorified bodies, individuals. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. I like that. Incorruptible. Whatever it is, it's going to be incorruptible. Can I tell you, how many believe that this flesh can be corrupted? How many believe that this flesh is corrupted? Amen. It is corrupted. And if you let it go the way it wants to go, it will become even more corrupted. And it can get so bad, amen, it can go beyond what you might even be able to imagine you doing. If you continue to feed the flesh, you'll be doing things that you could have never imagined you would be doing. Can't imagine I would ever have done that or did do that. Because the flesh is corruptible. In heaven, there are not going to be marriages. The other thing that he reveals to us about our existence in heaven, it's incorruptible. No sin nature, no devil. Amen. Raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There's not going to be any death. So you better enjoy that individual, because there's not ever going to be a separation. Amen. It has to be a better relationship. Raised incorruptible, no death. Revelation chapter 21 reveals some more, just a couple other things about the kingdom of heaven. It's a spiritual kingdom. Don't confuse it to think it's going to, as Jews were confused, thinking we're going to have national recognition. We're going to be the power of this earth. You limit God. It's much more than that. It's way beyond anything you could ever have in this life. Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to be getting into some of this in our study in the book of Revelation. I'm excited about getting to that place. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Well, there's going to be an atmosphere. And there's going to be a literal place like the earth. But it's not going to be created to house a physical body. It's not going to be created to maintain physical life. A new heaven, atmosphere, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Wow. No physical sea, no physical oceans on this new earth, in this new atmosphere. But there will be an atmosphere, a different dimension. There will be a literal earth. He just gives us a taste of what the mind cannot fully comprehend, but it can really be exciting when you let your mind go concerning, based upon the guidelines that God's given us. Better than any relationship on earth. Better than anything we get from the seas. Not only that, look down to verse 23. Chapter 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. No physical sea, no physical sun, no physical moon, and the stars are going to fall out of the sky. So it's not going to be an outer space somewhere. It's a different dimension. And this new earth, this new atmosphere, and our new bodies and our new relationships have no need of a sun. Means that you'll never have to worry about another tan. It'll be better. If you enjoy the sun, let me tell you, this sun will be a lot better. You enjoy the moon, this moon's going to be, it's going to be more than what you could ever receive from the moon. One more. Look at chapter 22 and verse 5. And there shall be no night there. Everyone that's ever been afraid of the dark, you can really find a peace of mind knowing no darkness at all. Every child that's ever had to cry themselves to sleep because they're afraid of the dark, praise the Lord, that'll all be over with. There's no darkness. None. Wow. Can I tell you, the millennial reign of Christ will be a step closer to what this is going to be. The millennial reign of Christ will still have this physical earth, will still have this physical atmosphere. There'll still be physical bodies here, but at the same time, the church, the bride of Christ, will be here in a spiritual sense. I don't know how, I just know it's going to be that way. And so this is the next step. And righteousness will rule and reign. And for 1,000 years, it'll prepare us in getting ready for what eternity in heaven is going to be like. A new heaven, new earth. God's design. That's what we're looking. That's what I want you to see here tonight. We don't fully understand it, but John came physically preaching, your thinking's wrong. You need to repent because you need God's mind. You need to think of what God has for us. You need to make sure that your priorities are not set on the physical, the temporary, but your priorities are set according to the spiritual and the eternal. And so it gives us a better understanding of why the first message and what was most important for him to bring that was preparing the way for the Lord is to repent. You're not thinking right. You don't understand what God wants you to understand. Go back with me to our text there. Matthew chapter 3. The kingdom of heaven is spiritual. And Jesus was about to give us the full revelation of what we could expect. And what the Jews were thinking about restoration on this earth was limiting themselves and limiting God. Because God had a much better and a bigger plan. John knew that. John also, because of that, knew that it was God's message that would straighten out man's corrupt path. Make his paths straight. Prepare the people for what Jesus is going to be telling them, teaching them, presenting to them. And our message today for every born-again believer, prepare people for what the Bible says. No better way of preparing them for what the Bible says than to live the Christ-like life before humanity. To model it. It was to be proclaimed through preaching. John came preaching. The truths of the Word of God are still and have been God's plan to proclaim them through the church and through the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, John came preaching because he understood what God had. He understood that their thinking was not his thinking. And so he came preaching repentance and pointing them to Jesus, who would give them full revelation, not only of this life, but of the life to come. Romans in chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. I trust you're following me tonight. This is powerful stuff. It really is. Romans in chapter 10 is putting it all together, hopefully, for the believer here tonight. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you're a soul winner, you have memorized that verse and you have presented that verse because it is so very true, but let's not lose sight of the verse that follows that verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And what is to be preached? Repentance. Your thinking's wrong. Change your thinking. First Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? And where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, for the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. This is what Jesus, this is the full revelation of God's word for this church age. Titus in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says this, Paul, a servant of God and apostle Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times... Hast in this present day, this church age, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 14. Write these verses down if I go too fast for you. But this is what Jesus said. Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom, the spiritual truth, shall be preached in all the world. For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Started out there in Jerusalem. Started out there in with his apostles and establishing the churches. And the churches were to grow. And through the growing of the churches, the word of God was to be preached. And as the word of God was preached, people would hear the word of God. And they would have an opportunity to either receive or reject the very words of God. But that would continue to take place until all the world, around the world, every nation would have an opportunity to hear the preaching of the words of God. 2,000 years. And I'm pretty sure today, all around the world, they have opportunities. Radio, missionaries, to hear the preaching. And this gospel, the kingdom, spiritual kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. It was to be proclaimed through preaching. And then one last thought, because he was make his way straight, straighten out man's corrupt paths. It was to be preached with conviction. Make his paths straight. His path. Preach it with conviction. I sometimes wish I could tell people what I know they want to hear. Preacher, is it all right for me to do this. Now, this is all the circumstances. And I know they want to hear me say, oh, it's all right, because they're coming to a pastor, somebody who's supposed to represent the words of God, seeking the permission and the blessings of God. And I would like to tell them, yeah, because I know that's what they want to hear. But if I'm going to preach with conviction, I can't tell them what I want to tell them. If it's conviction, I've got to tell them what God says. And ultimately, that is what they need, whether they realize it or not. Raising two girls, they get into their teenage years. Can I tell you that they would come and want to do some things, want to wear some things, want to dress a certain way, want to do certain things, and they would come to ask permission. And truly, you want to tell them yes. And you want to give them whatever they want. You want them to be able to do what they want to do. And yet, if you have any kind of biblical conviction as a parent, you have to say, I want to, but I cannot because of what the Bible says, and I have biblical convictions, and I cannot give you the permission. Because it's not what God wants you to do. It's not what's best for your life, even though you think it might be right now. You want your teenager to be able to have fun and appreciate you letting them do whatever they want to do. If they can get your permission, they'll go farther than what you think they will. Don't give up your conviction. Your child needs you to stand on biblical conviction. Listen to me. This church needs this pastor to stand and preach on biblical conviction. Can't stand up here and tell you it's all right to go out there and listen to whatever music you want to listen to. You go out there and dress like the world. Dress however you want to dress. God really doesn't care about how you look and how you dress. God doesn't care about what kind of music you listen to. And whatever entertainment you want to go and be a part of, it's all right. The grace of God covers it all. What a lie from the pits of hell. That is a false prophet standing up and trying to give you false information and a false security that God would allow you to do what he tells you not to do is ridiculous. It's preaching with no conviction. John the Baptist knew that he needed to preach, and not only did he need to preach, he needed to preach with conviction. Make his paths, God's will known, straight. Can I tell you that because of what the Bible says about modesty, you need to hear a preacher get up and preach to you with conviction, you need to dress modestly. It's not God who wants you to go out there and show everything that you have, and no matter what it is, and it's not God who wants you to go out there and dress in a way that would provoke others to think certain things. That's of the flesh. That's of the world. That's not of the Word of God. The Bible reveals modesty, and the Bible reveals identification. That is, sanctification is biblical. Set apart to represent God. You're not set apart to be able to represent the world. So the things that you want to associate yourself with, if that associates you with the world and disassociates you with the Word of God, don't do it. No matter who tells you that it's all right to do it, if it's against what the Bible teaches in associations with the world, don't do it. The Bible tells us we're to represent God, how He created you, As a man, you need to represent God as a man. As a woman, you need to represent God as a woman. If your dress makes you look more like a man and you're a woman, don't wear it. If your dress makes you look like a woman and you're a man, don't wear it. That's not popular preaching today. But that's preaching with conviction. That's preaching what the Bible says. We must live our lives according to our biblical convictions. If you have a position, you need to hold that position based upon biblical convictions. A parent, you hold to biblical convictions on your parenting. You hold to biblical convictions on what you do as a husband and what you do as a wife, what you do as a man and what you do as a woman, what you do as a parent, what you do in whatever area of life that a Christian ought to do, do what a Christian ought to do. Represent Christ. Can I tell you that we're to enjoy this life, but not at the expense of our spiritual walk with God? Because eventually what you think is going to bring you enjoyment will destroy you. It'll bring you shame. It'll bring you regrets. It'll bring you the judgment of sin. The wages of sin is death. I believe God would have us to enjoy love. God would have us to enjoy joy, peace, and happiness. I think that love, joy, peace, and happiness are obtainable, but not through lusts. Not through the lust of the flesh. It's obtainable through God's plan for marriage. If you have a biblical marriage, how can you not enjoy a biblical relationship and marriage? How can you not have blessings of becoming one? We can have it through family. If you have a biblically run family life, how could you not enjoy what God's blessed you with, your children? And children being raised right, to think right, to have the mind of Christ, how could they not enjoy having a parent that loves them and is watching out for them and wants the very best for them? No one will love you like your godly parents will love you. You're blinded to think that there are other relationships before marriage that are more important than your relationship with your parents. You're blinded to think that way. God wants us to have love. God wants us to have joy. God wants us to have peace. He wants us to have happiness, but not at the expense of our spiritual walk with Him. He's blessed us with marriage, family, church. Sunday night, what a blessing. I was just at our fellowship night. And I got a blessing just walking around, seeing everybody. I'm laughing, having a great time, eating, having some food. But seeing everybody just fellowshipping and just relating to each other, and who cannot enjoy that? Having a church family. Having somebody that you know that you can call. Having somebody that you know that's going to be praying for you. Having somebody that you know that really cares. How can you not enjoy having the kind of relationship that God gives us through our churches? How can we not enjoy the blessings of serving Him and accomplishing things for the cause of Christ? Listen to me. It's all going on right here. It is the devil wanting to confuse you with the things of this world, with the lust of this world and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And what John preached is exactly what we need to have preached today, is repent. Change your thinking. To His thinking. Make His paths straight. Paths of this world are crooked, and they're leading to the pits of hell. The paths that God has for us lead us to what He has given us a glimpse of, a spiritual kingdom, an eternity in heaven. Wow. Make His paths straight. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. John the Baptist, ushering in the New Testament church age, knowing who Jesus was, knowing God's plan, today, every born-again believer can know the Bible. Every one of us can know God's plan. And the best way to impact this world is to model it. To model it. And then they'll be open to the preaching of His word. Right now is an invitation time. We're not going to have a musical invitation, but if God's speaking to you, if you have a need to come for whatever reason, we invite you to come. Is your thinking what it ought to be? Has Satan gotten there and through this old corruptible flesh confused you, blinded you concerning right thinking? Let's find that repentance, change of mind that leads to a change of life. Make sure we have His thinking. Don't compromise biblical conviction. Anyone else? Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. Pray that You'd help us now to make whatever applications that You would have us to make through what You've received, revealed to us tonight. Continue to bless as we leave here tonight. Get us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen.